Is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And that's the sound of your hump day officially underway right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, live streaming with the video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra, Matt McClure. Busy show for you here today on FSA. We'll be joined by the Roncalli legend and soon-to-be South Dakota Coaches Association Hall of Famer Terry Dosh. He'll be joining us here about a quarter past the hour. Looking forward to a fun discussion with a friend of the program, certainly, as always. Cobra, what's going on for you on hump day?
Well, I'm doing all right. I got to say, I always mess up that SODAC Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame, like that that SDHC. I always mess it up, so good on you for getting that right.
Yeah, it helps that I had it right in front of me because I'm right there with you. That's a mouthful for sure, and it's one of those deals where if you almost don't have it in front of you, you're probably going to fail at it. Speaking from experience, it's one thing like name, image, and likeness and NLI. I always got those two mixed up, your national letter of intent and the name, image, and likeness. Mm-mm. I was like, oh, man, this guy's getting some really good NLI. It's like, no, it's NIL. Ah, that's right.
Even like the South Dakota High School Activities Association.
Yeah.
Like the, well, I'd see that sometimes, and I would mix up a word in there as well. So good on you for that this morning. I'll give you your props there because yeah. I struggle with that.
You know what? If you're going to give me some props, I'll certainly take it. Because Lord knows my wife isn't listening, so I'll definitely take that. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And Cobes, I got done with the show yesterday, and I looked at the calendar, and I said to myself, we're getting closer and closer to the start of high school sports season. Now, we don't start our broadcast until I believe it's August the 21st is our first football broadcast for Roncalli and our rural coverage and what have you. But that doesn't mean that high school athletics doesn't start before that, and I looked it up. I think it was tennis. Yeah, I think it was high school tennis. And the first scheduled events is coming up on August the 10th.
Jeez.
That's less than a month away. August 10th is Spearfish takes on Rapid City Central for some girls' tennis action. We're not really going to pay a whole lot of attention to Spearfish v. Rapid City Central, but it's the fact that it's that close, it just really kind of tossed me for a loop.
Yeah, well, we've always said it. When the 4th of July hits and after the 4th, it's a full sprint towards the end of the summer, and I'm enjoying the summer. I'm going to soak up the sun and enjoy it, but it's going to be here before you know it. You talked about it, the football, and that's literally after fair week, and then you got high school tennis. I believe soccer's going to be in the mix here as well in the fall, so it's a full sprint, that's for sure, and it's hard to believe that we're getting to that point where we're starting to think of these fall sports. It's crazy. I mean, it feels like the high school basketball season really just ended a couple weeks ago. That's just me. But that's the way I feel about it.
I mean, summer is always so quick. It comes and goes very, very quickly. I tweeted out yesterday, I'm done with the summer. I'm done with the 98 degrees and the 103 heat indexes. I'm ready for mid-60s and fall weather. I know I shouldn't say that around these airwaves because we have such a long winter season and all that. And when we're in the winter, we want it to be warm. When we want it to be warm, hey, it's here. Now we want it to be cold again. So there's no pleasing us. I shouldn't say we, but for yours truly anyway. I'm a big fan of the cooler temperatures for sure, but I know you're a golfer. I'm a golfer. I'm not going to be golfing with you guys on Saturday. We've got that Storybook Land Festival.
Oh, sure.
I wasn't there last year. My wife was like, oh, the girls had so much fun. And I seem to recall saying, I'll get it the next year. And then I was like, okay, I'm golfing on Saturday. Oh, wait a minute.
No, you're not.
So, yeah, I'm gonna be there this upcoming Saturday. So good luck swinging the sticks there. For what it's worth, Roncalli Tennis, they get underway the next day, August the 11th.
Huh.
They're taking on Huron and Mitchell there as well at Hitchcock Park. So looking forward to that here in the not-too-distant future. But, of course, it still is summertime. And I turned on the MLB All-Star Game there last night. And it's the MLB All-Star Game and then the rest in terms of All-Star Games. I mean, we don't need to talk about all the other All-Star Games, but man alive, does the MLB do it well. And I think another home run for them last night, especially having it in Philadelphia. America 250, you had the signing of the Declaration of Independence as the guys are leaving the dugout to sign up for the lineup card. It was just such a great spectacle last night.
Yeah, you said it 100% right. It's the MLB All-Star Game and everybody else. You know what I really like about it? They wear the jerseys that they play for. I just think it's an old school. I like it. They went to the everybody wear the same jersey route, and I wasn't the biggest fan of it. Now that you wear the team that you play for, it's just there's something about it that, I mean, you can't fake seeing 98. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't fake, you know, hitting a ground ball and booting it and feeling it. Like, there's just something about it. You know, you see it in the All-Star Game with basketball and things where you're not playing any defense. Like, you can't get away with that in the MLB All-Star Game. There's just something about it. I'm watching this last night, and I'm thinking to myself the exact same way you thought. There is just nothing that compares to it when you're talking about All-Star Games. Philly's crowd was great. They're booing Yankees. They're booing Red Sox. They're booing Mets. It's just absolute classic. I just thought it was awesome. Joe Ryan threw an inning scoreless, struck out two. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of runs in the game. Now, I thought the game was going to end at midnight. There was a lot of things going on between innings. I'm like, is this thing going to end at 1 in the morning Eastern time?
Yeah.
But it was so low scoring, obviously, because you got the best pitchers of baseball, that it didn't go that long. But that was the bubble over my head. Hit it out of the park. It's just, there's nothing like it, in my opinion.
You got Ray Charles out there singing, and it was a cool deal with all the fireworks. You've got Freddie Freeman playing catch with a kid in the infield with their bikes all around. You can't get much more Americana than that. It was really, really cool. So we were talking yesterday that we didn't really watch much of the Home Run Derby because it was on Netflix. Now, I don't have a Netflix subscription. I just don't. But one of my favorite shows on Netflix when it does drop is Quarterback. Have you seen Quarterback on Netflix before?
I've heard of it. We've talked about it. I've seen maybe pieces of it, but not the full thing.
Some clips from time to time go on social media. Well, one of those went viral here this morning as Joe Flacco is a part of this year's season of Quarterback. I believe it's season 3. So it's Flacco, Cam Ward, and there's a third in there. I can't quite place it right now, but it'll come to me at some point in time, I'm sure. But it's a really, really cool show. And Baker Mayfield, he's the third guy.
Okay.
And yesterday, there's a really, really funny clip that went viral here. Is Frank Flacco, that's Joe's son. He can't be any older than, I don't know, 11, 12 years old. And he and his brother and his mom, Joe Flacco's wife, they're all sitting up in the crowd, and the kids are mic'd up. This is one thing that's kind of cool about this show is, you know, the parents, the family, they're all mic'd up. And Joe's kid, Frank, says, if dad goes off, I'm going to crash out. I benched him on my fantasy lineup for today. And I just thought to myself, how wild is that? You've got a kid playing fantasy football. His own dad is on the team, and he put him on the bench that day.
Come on, Frank. Really?
No love.
You're going to not show any love to January Joe Flacco, man? I mean, that's really good. Hey, Dad, I don't want you going off. Dad goes off, I'm going to be upset because I got him on my bench in fantasy. We've had that conversation before as well. You got your team fan, and then you got football fans of the NFL that are fantasy football fans. And that's just the way it is. And the thing that bothers us, we've had this conversation before, and I'm not blaming Frank Flacco. He's 11 years old. But I got friends who are like this. Hey, I'm a New England Patriots fan.
Yep.
But the Patriots are playing Josh Allen and the Bills. I need the Patriots to win, but I need Josh Allen to go off. That stuff bothers me big time.
Oh, I can't do it. I cannot do it at all. Same thing for me. It's like, oh, I've got Puka Nacua on my fantasy team. I want him to tear the Seahawks a new one. But I want the Seahawks to win. What? What is that?
Can't do that.
Can't do it.
And with my team, I can do fantasy football. And, like, I don't care about my team. If, like, I got guys that are playing my team in fantasy football, I don't really care how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
I can do fantasy football because I'm not super, like, there's people that are super invested in it with the waiver wire and things of that. I play it. I have fun with it. I set my lineup. That's about it. So I don't really have that, like, emotional attachment to it that a lot of people I know do.
Well, I told you, I did fantasy baseball one summer when I was in college. I think it was my freshman into sophomore year of college. And I had to realize that you have to change your lineup every day. It's fantasy baseball. You know, this guy's out of the lineup today, or this guy's in the lineup today. And you have to do that every single day. Football, it's, you know, it's a one-week thing. It's a one-week occurrence. But fantasy baseball, you got to be a real diehard to do
that. Yeah. No, I feel like fantasy baseball would be pretty fun from that perspective, that you have to change it every day. I feel like I'd be even more into baseball,
totally.
A little bit more in tune with it than I already am. So I think actually my buddy, he sent me a text like not too long ago. He's like, hey, we should do fantasy baseball next year. I'm like, that doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world. Like, I'm in, man. Sign me up for next year.
Lock it up. Absolutely. Coming up next, a friend of the program, Terry Dosh. He'll be joining us live in studio. A fun discussion with a friend of the program. He'll join us after a quick break. You're listening to the Sports Hub, our daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. on FSA. Sports Hub returns on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. They always say in school, one of the things in broadcasting school is dead air is no good thing. Sometimes we like to let things breathe. We're like a fine wine here on the Sports Hub or something like that. Hey, speaking of a fine wine, Terry Dosh joins us live in studio. What a segue, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Hope you're not saying I'm a whiner.
No, I don't think so.
Depends which official you talk to.
Right. Do you like a nice cab? Are you a Merlot guy? Are you a Chardonnay guy? Or are you like, not my
bag? You know,
bag.
I might have a Pinot Noir, or I kind of like sweet stuff. So my wife makes fun of me. She's
little Moscato. Like, your wife's a firecracker, man.
I met
her for the first time at the Northern Bourbon and Brews event.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, she's something, huh?
She brings a little spark to the room.
It's one way to describe it, for sure. Terry Dosh joins us live in studio here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're talking off the air very briefly. How's your summer going so far? You're a busy guy. I texted you, I think it was on Monday, and you said, well, you know, Wednesday would work better. Sounds like even in retirement, you're a pretty busy dude.
You know, it does seem like I'm busier than what I anticipated. Do some mowing out at the fairgrounds. My son's got some rental stuff, and, of course, he doesn't live here, so I deal with that, which I can't say that's my favorite thing in the world. You know, got some grandkids in town. Try to get to Fargo once in a while, see grandkids there. I don't know. Just seems to always be something going on. There's not much down. I haven't, like, sat on the deck and just done nothing, I don't think, all summer. So
this is your downtime. This is it right here.
This is it right here. Yeah. I don't have to. I like to garden and do a lot of yard work. So, you know, I don't know. Always something.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about it. Well, I saw it a couple weeks ago, but you're going to be inducted into the South Dakota High School Coaches Association. There it is. I got it right.
Well done.
You're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. What was that moment like for you when you got that call or when you saw that?
You know, kind of overwhelming, really. Got a call from Virg Pollock, who is a longtime keeper of all things high school athletics in South Dakota. And I'm like, oh, can't, I don't know. It's kind of surreal because you don't really think about that. It certainly is an honor, but it's also kind of humbling because it's like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know anything too special or magical, except my dad said, show up every day and do the best you can with what you're doing. And if you're not going to do that, then don't bother coming back home. So, you know, that's kind of the way that I tried to go about, you know, coaching and teaching and life in general.
When you started coaching, you didn't have the goal. Not to put words in your mouth, but I am going to hear a little bit if I may. You probably didn't have the goal, hey, I want to be a Hall of Fame coach. You probably didn't have that goal. If it comes, hey, great. But why did you get into coaching back in the day to kind of get started?
You know, I think from the time that I was very young, I wanted to be a coach and a teacher. And, I spent a lot of time around elderly people. My parents were both fairly old by the time I came along. And so they worked in, you know, my dad spent some time working as a bartender. And so if my big brothers weren't around to watch me and mom was at work, I might be hanging out in the fireplace lounge in Ipswich. And, you know, these guys are always talking to you. And, you know, I'm saying I'm probably about 8, 9 years old. And this guy's like, well, what are you going to be when you grow up? A fireman? I'm like, nah. In Ipswich, that's just, you know, a volunteer job. So it's not like full time. I think I want to be a teacher. And I'm going to teach, you know, like social studies. And I want to be a coach. I want to coach football and wrestling and track. And, you know, if I wasn't so bad at basketball, maybe I'd want to coach that too. But, you know, there was a brief time where I thought about going to broadcast school. Hmm. And I'm like, hey, you know, I don't know. I have a face made for radio. And, you know, I was always intrigued by it, but then ended up getting a scholarship to go to school, academic, not athletic. And so it's like, well, I think I'll do that. Plus, not going to lie, still had a sweetheart who was in high school. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go to, you know, Brown Institute in Minneapolis. You know, I think I'll just go to Aberdeen. It's a quicker drive home.
Fair enough.
And, you know, when you know, think back to, you know, your years of coaching there, is there a moment or something that stands out first to you, you know, that you remember? Maybe not like the best moment, but just like that first moment that you remember possibly.
You know, and it was kind of weird how I got into coaching football. So I'm going to back up just a tad. When I was in college, I interviewed at Fulton, and it was teaching, obviously, but it was coaching girls basketball and wrestling. And I'm like, girls, you know, I can't coach basketball. I wrestled in high school. I wrestled a tiny bit in college. I did take theory of basketball under Coach Walks and Coach Olson. So I knew what the blind pig was, you know, when you ran the Northern Shuffle. I don't think I could have explained it too much. And so I'm sweating all summer long. I actually called my assistant and he's like, hey, I drive for Schwann's and I'll be there the first day of practice. But other than that, so I'm like, oh my goodness. And so we were going to be married August 2nd. And 2 days before the wedding, the superintendent calls and said, hey, our football coach took a job as a principal in Coleman. And I think I've got a guy who could coach girls basketball. Do you have any interest in coaching football? And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, absolutely. And he said, you know, we have a couple of veteran coaches, but they don't want to be the head coach. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, let's figure it out. You know, we got about 2-3 weeks till practice starts, so let's throw something together. And one of the things that jumped out at me was when, like, one of our first practices, and we did a lot of conditioning because, you know, heck, I probably only knew 10 plays. And so I got to do something to take up a couple hours, right? So, you know, we conditioned a lot. And one of the guys like, "Coach, you think we could turn on the radio?" And I'm like, "Actually, if you want to listen to the radio, you should probably go home and not come back." And Jerry Fisher, he was a true mentor of mine and one of the other assistant coaches. And he's like, "Okay, rookie." And that, he never called me Terry, I don't think, ever in the 5 years I was there. It was always rookie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I think this is going to work out okay, because I feel like maybe we need a little discipline and direction with where we are, because the last couple of years have been a little tough." So I don't know. That's kind of a weird moment to maybe think of, but I'm like, hey, maybe this is going to work out.
That's a good segue. You mentioned the radio comment. Is there, like, do you have like a funniest excuse a player used to maybe get out of practice?
Dog ate my, that you remember? Kind of thing, yeah.
Well, now they didn't actually. So I'm going to pick on these two guys, okay? And and I get along with them well. Sam Pfeiffer and Charlie Droppel, they're freshmen. And we had three-a-days, okay?
Different times.
Different times, yeah. And they weren't, like, necessarily heavy, full contact stuff, but, you know, we focused on different things in different segments. I just felt it was easier if you broke it up. So one day, Coach Beck, my right-arm man, and I are walking out the back door, and here's Charlie and Sam, and they're dancing around. And now they're both boys that are native. And we looked at them, and we're like, "What on earth are you doing?" And they're like, "Well, Coach, we're kind of hoping we could conjure up some rain, and so we wouldn't have to have practice today because it's pretty hot." Like, get out there. You guys.
So you weren't one of those coaches that was like, "Hey, water's for the weak." You weren't one of those coaches, were you?
No, we always had water. And now, you know, growing up and playing football in high school, we didn't even have access to water on our practice field. Our coach had a cooler of ice, and every once in a while you'd go over and grab an ice cube or something like that. But no, we always had water, and, you know, it's like, hey, gotta stay hydrated. We're not out here to, we're gonna work really hard, but, you know, we're not out here to drop over, and I don't think it makes you any tougher.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. Terry Dosh is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple things I jotted down. Can you tell us a little bit about the Blind Pig Northern Shuffle? What is that? That immediately jumped off the page to me, and I got to tell you, I've never heard of that before. Tell us a little bit. Yeah, no, that's a new one for me.
You know, I feel like as a Northern play-by-play man,
that's what I said,
you need to know a little bit about the history of Northern and basketball. You got to do some research here, Terps.
You know what? Come on, man. I think I know a thing or two about the history of Northern basketball. Not everything. I'm sure there's people certainly that will know more than me.
Bob Walks.
Okay.
Walks Arena had an offense that was called the Northern Shuffle. And if my memory serves me correctly, maybe a little bit better against man-to-man. I don't know. There's a bunch of picks and different things like that. But and I know our high school basketball team ran it because Dave Bauer played for Bob. And so that's what they did. And anyway, there was a play called the Blind Pig that had a series of screens and was set up to pop somebody open over in the corner for an easy shot. So I don't know. I just know it's called the Blind Pig. I'm not even 100% sure. I'm pretty sure I couldn't draw it up.
Okay.
I might still have that piece of paper tucked away somewhere when we took that note in class, though.
The Blind Pig. Love it. Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, you mentioned girls basketball and basketball wasn't your thing, and that takes some time to kind of find out, like, hey, I wanted to coach football or I wanted to do wrestling. I know you got into that right away, the wrestling and the basketball side of things, but you know, sometimes it could have been a situation where you fell into basketball and wrestling and you liked that, you continued to do it. Obviously, football came an opening, and obviously, I mean, the resume speaks for itself, but did it take some time to figure out what you wanted to do coaching-wise or not so much?
Well, you know, when they offered me the job, and it was a bit of a conundrum, and so I went back, and I'm at Northern, and I talked to Dr. Kretschmann. Okay, Jim Kretschmann played at Northern, coached football, AD, arguably the most respected person who ever walked that soil. And I had him for a class. It was called Principles and Problems of Coaching. And I'm like, ah, Dr. Kretschmann, I got offered this job in Falkton, but it's coaching girls basketball. And I, you know, now, at that time, I didn't know he was originally from Falkton. And he's like, oh, Terry, Falkton's a great little community. You know, I think I would take the job. Good place to get started. You know, you get your foot in the door. Maybe, you know, maybe something will open up in football if that's really what you want to do. Or who knows, maybe you'll like basketball. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't say I dislike basketball. I just feel kind of bad about going in and, you know, not knowing anything except, okay, we're going to run ladders, you know.
So, we're going to run the blind pig.
We'll try to put in the blind pig, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, if that hadn't, that twist of fate, divine intervention, you know, whatever, I could very well have been a one and done because, you know, I'm not sure how well my personality would have meshed right there, and for sure my knowledge. So I'd probably be bald.
You probably would have picked it up over time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I suppose.
Give yourself a little credit. Terry Dosh, friend of the program, joining us here on FSA, South Dakota High School Coaches Association, soon to be Hall of Famer. We'll take a break in the action. More with TD after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. And Terry Dosh joins us live in studio, and you were talking in our previous segment about one of the student athletes that said, hey, can we put on the radio or something? It's just interesting because we're living in a day and age where if you ever watch any sort of film or hear stories about NFL practices, you know, they've got rock and roll on in the background or rap or country or whatever. So it's just weird. Maybe not weird is the right word to describe, but just different. Interesting to me how, you know, it's like, hey, back in the day, it's like, no, this is all business. And nowadays, it's just all music all the time. So just as an aside there. Hey, speaking of radio, do you have a fun Scott Solberg story? I saw you guys were talking to each other off of the air before you jumped on here. Let's put the spotlight on Scott here a little bit. I know he doesn't really like that. But do you have a fun off the air or on the air Scott Solberg story? Because I feel like that could be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, most of the time, and Scott will tell you, he said, Terry, you're like the easiest interview because I'll just ask you one question and then you just go on and take care of everything and then we use up all our time. Probably like Shane going like this. He's like, yeah, tie it up. You know, I mean, nothing crazy. I guess the only thing I would say is I really enjoyed working with him. I thought he did a great job. You know, he obviously, you know, he was a Cavalier guy and his kids went there and his wife works there. And I think we had a special place, but I didn't feel like he was homerish. And the thing that I really appreciate about Scott is he's always positive, whether it's a kid making a mistake or, you know, coach making a dumb call on, you know, third and six. You know, he never was, like, critical, you know, where he was just going to tell you what was going on and he was enthusiastic and positive, and I feel like that's a really good quality, and I always appreciated him. That's the best thing I can tell you about Scott.
I really wanted you to throw him under the bus.
Well, you know, there was that one time when he showed up, and, you know, he wasn't wearing any clothes up in the box, but, you know, then Connie came up. No, I'm just making stuff up.
Now, kind of piggyback off of the, you know, memories. Is there a Roncalli memory that comes to your head, you know, maybe still today, and it just makes you smile? You know, whether it's winning a championship or just something maybe out of the blue that you think of and you think, you know, it just makes you smile.
You know, that's probably the hardest question you could ask me, because I have so many tremendous memories, a couple that were kind of like, yeah, we could forget about that. I didn't really get into that too much, but so many things that happened, and just the great kids, and who many of now are, I consider, friends. We, you know, we talk a lot, we exchange notes, we, you know, converse, and that's really the coolest thing. I'll bet that, I mean, I don't think there's a week that goes by that I don't hear something from somebody who played for me. You know, sometimes people that were in class, but, you know, the relationship that you develop with kids when you coach, it's kind of indescribable, you know, because some of those kids I probably, during the season anyhow, I spent more time with than their family did, because, mm-hmm. you know, they get home and eat and maybe do their homework and go to bed, and, you know, maybe mom and dad saw him at the supper table, and that was about it. But between, you know, weight room and practice and film and all the different things, and just, you know, sitting around and shooting the breeze. And I used to always have them over on Monday nights. And, you know, 1 week would be the seniors and juniors, sophomores, freshmen. And my wife would cook for them, and we'd hang out in the basement. No phones. You cannot text your girlfriend while you're down here in the man cave.
Nice.
Okay?
Like that.
That's a 15-sprint penalty tomorrow in practice, you know. But I heard you guys talking about fantasy. You know, that was the thing. Someone would be like, I got to have this guy score. And I'm like, you know, first of all, I've never played fantasy football, but I'm like, dude, watch the game and don't worry about whether or not he got 3 yards, okay? Unless, you know, you care about the team. Well, I played him this week. Yeah, I wish I could have played him this week. Then you'd be sitting on the bench.
You know, it's interesting because we had Olivia Braun in studio yesterday, and she's sitting right where you are. And I said to Cobra off the air, and I think I even said it on the air, it's so cool to see her maturation process as a freshman, because she was in here as a freshman. Now she's a senior about to be a freshman in college, and you could just see how she's grown and developed in just the way she talks and the way she speaks and, you know, her mannerisms and this and that. I got to believe that's one of the cool things about coaching as well, as you're bringing in these freshmen, you know, they're afraid of their own shadow. By the time they're seniors, you know, they're slapping high fives with you and they're, you know, ribbing you a couple times and this sort of thing. I got to believe that's one of the most rewarding things about being a coach, is to see these kids grow from freshman year to senior year. And like you say, now you're friends with a lot of them. That's got to be really cool.
100%. You know, just and some of them, to watch how they develop, mature as young men. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about things that were not football related. A lot of emphasis on, you know, you be, you know, the best player, student, son, you know, friend. Someday I want you to be the best father, if that's, you know, what's going to happen to you. If you're a ditch digger, and somebody's got to be, right, you know, you be the best one. And to watch those kids develop, and there's some of them that, like, you know, maybe they come in, or especially, I mean, I probably taught them when they were way little, and people be like, you know, look out for him. He's full of vim and vigor. And, you know, it's and then to see who they become, you know, by the time they're a senior, and then after. You know, some of them, it takes a little longer to figure out which way's up. And speaking of Olivia, I 100% concur with that. I had Olivia when she was in grade school.
Okay.
We did not play golf in elementary PE, but I think I heard her talk about the first tee program. And she, what a wonderful young lady that she is. And so, yeah, it's very nice to see her have the success that she had. And, you know, the only thing I didn't, you know, her last few, whatever years she went to the public school, not getting a chance to see her, because she, yeah, definitely a very genuine young lady.
What do you think the best coaching advice you ever received was?
You know, I'm not 100% sure if it was coaching advice, but just general advice on who you are as a person, and that's show up every day, work hard, develop a little bit of a thick skin, because you know you're going to get some criticism. If you do, think about it for a little bit. If you find that there's a grain of truth to it, maybe you need to make some adjustments. And if not, you know, just hey, like Jesus said in the Bible, you know, shake the dust of this place from your sandals and move on. And, you know, I think that's really it. And also, don't take yourself too serious. You know, there's tons of people out there that know more than I do about stuff. There's way better X's and O's people. There's probably people that are kinder, gentler, you know, in their approach. You know, I feel we were pretty demanding, and but I always felt like our kids understood that, and that they knew that even though we're going to work really hard, okay, that's going to pay benefits. And to always believe in yourself. When I first got to Fulton, Mobridge, and we played 11-man when I first got there, Mobridge program was really, really strong. They had a coach named Fran Herman, and he did a great job with them. They ran a 44, and they just stunted constantly. You know, there might be 8-9 guys coming, and our kids at Falkton were intimidated by that, and we're going to play them for homecoming, and they're like, yeah, I wish we were playing somebody else. I don't think we can beat Falkton. Excuse me? No. We don't. Can't is a four-letter word, and we're not saying those, okay? And it's like, no, you have to believe, and I think our kids developed the belief that no matter who we are playing, there's something that we can do that we're going to win that. And we always told them, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to play, you know, Timbuktu tonight. They think they could win the game, okay? Here's the difference. When we hit the field, we know we're going to win the game. Not in an arrogant sense, but in a, we're prepared, we worked hard, the game is going to be easy because look at all the stuff we did this week.
How long do you feel like that got to your players? Because I feel like a lot of coaches at the high school level now are searching for that right there, where you step in between the lines on the basketball court, the football field, the volleyball court, whatever it is, you got to believe that you can win and can compete. How long do you feel like that took to get that message through?
You know, I hope that it took like, you know, one day of practice. You know, because I felt like our kids always felt that way. That's the way that I tried to talk to them about it. And as I said, I'm a big slogan guy, okay? Quote guy, as you might know, I randomly send stuff still. I'm an unsolicited giver of advice sometimes. But if you came into our locker room, there were probably 100 different quotes. And every day on the practice plan, I would write one of those down. Not the quote itself, but I might say, Matt McClure, number 3, mm-hmm. Okay? And the kids knew that when we got to practice, we're going to pray. And then I'm going to say, Tooks, four. And at the bottom of the practice plan, I should back up. I probably said like 40-yard sprints at the end of practice, which nobody wants to run, and I don't want to watch them run. I'd say, Tooks, for 25 40s. Ooh. Matt McClure, number three.
What is it?
Yeah. Now, the older kids made sure the younger kids knew it. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know that. You got to say, you know, because they're like, we're not running 40 40s.
It's like a test.
Yeah. And then we would talk about what that meant and how do you apply that not only to what we're doing here at practice. And the other thing is we always talked about goals. I believe in setting goals, and I would have them write goals down, okay? But then I would have them, okay, so if your goal is to, you know, be an all-state football player, fine and dandy. Tell me three things that you're going to do to achieve that goal, okay? Because anybody can have a goal, but if you don't have a plan, the goal is probably going to go out the window. And, you know, the other thing, we never talked about – like winning specific, like some people be like, hey, we're going to go, I think we're going to go 6-2 this year. Excuse me? Which two games do you plan on losing? Mm-hmm. No. So when we did team goals, you know, we never said, hey, this is going to be our record. We said, okay, on offense, we got 10 goals for each game. On defense, we got 10. Special teams, we got 10. Then at the bottom, we'd say, also, our goal is to go 1-0 this week. And, you know, because you can't be 2-0 until you're 1-0.
That's true.
Right? And the only way to eat an elephant's one bite at a time, right, baby? So, you know, let's do the little things well. And, you know, the big things, they're going to come around. So I just feel like our kids bought into that because that's what Coach Beck, Coach Breeze, you know, whoever worked with us, that's what we believed, and I think the kids believed in us.
Final one here with Terry Dosh on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Being a coach at a Christian school like Ron Collier, a religious school, shall we say, you can kind of not impose your faith, but how has faith helped you coach over the years? Has it shaped the way you coached through faith?
Absolutely. And, you know, to be honest with you, I sometimes felt a little pressure because I taught religion for 25 years. And so, you know, you have to try to live it. And sometimes I failed miserably. And then it's like, you know, fellas, I kind of lost my cool. And, you know, I'm sorry about that, and I shouldn't have done that. But I think, you know, it also helps you when you're, you know, to deal with the highs, the lows, the in-betweens, you know, and you have the opportunity to share your faith. You know, you can never impose your faith. I mean, because if you do, then people just – tune you out and they're like, yeah, I'm not buying that. But you do your best to share it and you want it to be part of what you do. And, you know, then kids also would look and say, well, that's right. You don't have to be perfect because look at Coach Dosh. You know, he's not perfect. Yeah, there's only one perfect guy and, you know, they nailed him to a tree. So, you know, I don't know if that's what I want my goal to be. But, yeah, I think my faith has always been an important factor in my life, in my family. So, you know, you just kind of try to have it be part of what you do every day.
It's part of who you are. It's part of how you instill your values and try to figure out 3rd and 6, right?
That's right.
There you go. Well, thanks for popping in studio here. Congratulations again on the accolade. It's a really, really welcome addition to the trophy case there. I'm sure that's probably continuing to grow here, even now that you're of course, retired and what have you. But congratulations again, and thanks for being a part of the program.
Thanks.
Tonight.
I appreciate it and the opportunity to talk, and sorry if I ramble too much.
No, you're great. That's Terry Dosh joining us live on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're going to wrap up the Hub after this.
Hey, Aberdeen. You're in Wolves country. This is Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and online at hubcityradio.com.
Thank you, big voiceover guy. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Our thanks again to head coach Terry Dosh for taking some time and joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen as a guy that was initially signed on to coach girls basketball. Who would have ever thought it turns out to be a Hall of Fame football coach? Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. Great stories. I mean, he's just, you could ask him anything and he'll give you an answer. That's pretty cool about Coach Dosh. I feel like he's got even more stories up the sleeve. We just kind of ran out of time. That's, you know, just how it happened.
I'm just, you know, not to throw him under the bus, but I'm really disappointed he didn't throw Solberg under the bus. And I was ready to roll that bus and pull it over. And
no, yeah, remember that stupid question asked? Yeah. Like, we lost the game and he's asking about a play that we didn't get.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah. I was hoping for something like that, but no, that's good stuff from Scott and Coach Dosh, and certainly much appreciate him taking some time and joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Got about a minute or so left to go in the show here today. Some high school, or make it rather Legion baseball scores from yesterday. Groton Wood split with Milbank. It was Groton defeating Milbank in game 1, 9-2. And then in five innings, Milbank returns the favor 5-4. Sisseton big over Big Stone Post 229, 13 rip, and then 4-1 in five innings. That Sisseton team, no joke. They are, how do I describe? They've quadrupled their wins rather than losses. I think they're like 16-5 or something like that.
Yeah, they've been the model of consistency. If you remember, they went 16-2 during the spring high school season,
that's
too,
right,
at SBW. So, I mean, you look at combined spring season and this Legion season, they've won over 30 ball games. And, you know, we had Coach Mark Nelson on the program. He's doing some assistant coaching duties there. It's him and Trent Bessel in there for Sisseton. And he just talked about the, you know, the growth of this team and how they took their punches when they were younger, and now they're taking the punch to the other team. I just think that's really cool to see, you know, covering, I, you know, those names that you see, the LJ Crookses of the world, the Carter Sticklins. Now, I remember when I was living in Sisseton, those guys were just starting the Legion, and they had some tough games out there. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to see, you know, these kids grew up, they matured, they got better, and it's just really cool to see. You mentioned Rylan Anderson. He thinks that guy could be a pitcher at the next level. So, I mean, it's just some of those things that are going on with Sisseton post 50. Really happy to see them really having a successful season.
No question about that. And on the college side of things, came out yesterday that SDSU is picked to return to the top of the MVFC, and USD sitting in the number 5 spot there with that preseason poll. NSIC poll comes out the first week of August. We're back at it tomorrow.